evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, October 8, 2015. Rebel leader Riek Machar finally meets a top U.S. diplomat in Washington about implementation of the peace agreement.
I met the top diplomat, so that's it. And I express the challenges of the implementation of the peace agreement to him. He recognized that there are issues that need to be resolved.
And South Sudan's national soccer team draws in a World Cup qualifying match.
It's good, but we play draw. We lose our 3 points. Maybe next time we can go and try it.
Even I'm so happy today. Yeah, but next time I need to start trying to beat these people.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The head of the SPLM in opposition, Riek Machar, has been holding high-level meetings with U.S. officials to discuss the way forward for the weeks-old peace deal. Yesterday, Machar met in Washington with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. I met with Machar earlier today at the U.S. Institute of Peace. He told me he is pleased with the outcome of the meeting with Kerry, but is still puzzled as to why U.S. National Security Advisor Susan Rice canceled a meeting with him. South Sudanese Vice President Waniga and former detainee Pagan Amum.
I was scheduled to meet Dr. Susan Rice the day before yesterday. And then in the morning of yesterday, I was told the thing was cancelled. I had expected that the White House would give us an audience and listen to the challenges of implementation of the peace agreement. But all in all, at the State Department, we were given audience by the Secretary of State, and also a representative of the White House was present. We did discuss the challenges, and I think our point of view was understood. We will wait for what action will be taken.
And right after the meeting, how did you feel?
Happy, definitely. I met the top diplomat, so that's it. And I expressed the challenges of the implementation of the peace agreement to him. He recognized that there are issues that need to be resolved.
What are some of these issues? Will you clearly explain?
First of all, security issues, the demilitarization of Juba. Juba City is a very important issue. The withdrawal of the Ugandan troops on time. And then the need for deploying resources to support the implementation of the peace agreement. And all this at the pre-transitional period, because this is the crucial period. Once a government is formed, the government of national unity can then whip up support from all over the world.
Yeah.
But this time is crucial.
And some people out there would say we're involved at the peace talks from the beginning up to the time you signed it. Why didn't you bring the issue of resources when you were negotiating?
Over there, we did. We did. You know, at times, the mediators themselves will knock out certain issues which they didn't see relevant at the time. And sometimes, for example, this issue of the need for more estates, we presented it. Because as far back as December 2014, we presented it, we tabled it, the mediators were not appreciative, and that encouraged the government not even to discuss it. Just now to come and surprise us that they created more estates unilaterally. So there were issues which were not appreciated either by the government or the mediators. I don't know whether they were skeptical that peace would be reached.
The IGAD Plus is made of many countries. Are you planning to visit these other countries to also tell them what you're telling the Americans?
First, the U.S. has been the major donor of the peace talks and peace process in general. It has been the major donor in the humanitarian assistance, I believe. Yes, when I get the opportunity, I will visit UK and Norway, and hopefully not on the issues of pre-transitional period, but on the issues of transitional period and implementation of the peace agreement.
That was SPLM-IN opposition leader Riek Machar speaking with me earlier today at the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington, D.C. We'll have more from Machar in tomorrow's show. As we have just reported, President Kiir says he will repartition the country into 28 states, up from the current 10. Juba's critics say taking such unilateral action is a violation of the recently signed peace deal. VOA's Jill Craig reports from Nairobi on what is the latest sticking point on the path to peace in South Sudan.
President Salva Kiir says splitting South Sudan into 28 states will help reduce the size of the national government and distribute more resources to the rural population. But rebel leader and ousted Vice President Riek Machar says the president should have consulted the opposition first, per the terms of a peace agreement signed in August to end nearly 2 years of fighting. Machar spoke with VOA's Straight Talk Africa host Shaka Sali on Wednesday.
We ourselves in SPLM-SPLA declared 21 states, and we tabled this at the negotiations. We wanted to resolve this matter once and for all, but he was not ready.
He rejected it.
He rejected it. Even the mediators were on his side. They rejected it. Now we're surprised. 5 days ago, he made this declaration.
The European Union delegation to South Sudan and the Troika countries of Norway, the United Kingdom, and the United States are urging President Kiir to wait for a permanent constitution before constructing new states. But Zakaria Ding, senior policy analyst with the SUD Institute in Juba, says Kiir doesn't have to wait.
What you have is the government of the Republic of South Sudan, which has a president, and the party that is in power right now, that can make decisions on the country. Until the transition government is in place, I think it is far-fetched to say that there was a need on the part of the president to consult Mr. Machar at this point.
Vukashin Petrovich, the head of Africa programs at Freedom House, believes this current point of contention is just a distraction.
I would say at any different point in the future, decentralization would make sense for South Sudan and splitting the country into more manageable units would make sense. At this stage, it absolutely does not. Both parties in South Sudan conflict are just looking for reasons not to achieve peace deal.
A transitional government could be set up as early as November, according to the terms of the peace deal. South Sudan gained independence from Sudan in 2011 after decades of civil war. However, war erupted anew in December 2013 after President Kiir's dismissal of his then-deputy Machar. According to the Council on Foreign Relations, the conflict has killed tens of thousands of people and internally displaced more than 1.6 million. Clashes have continued despite the August peace deal, with both sides accusing the other of violating the ceasefire. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
More than a dozen traditional chiefs from Raja County in western Bahar Ghazal state say they are opposed to President Kiir's decision to annex their county into a newly created state called Lol. The new state will also include Awil North and Awil West counties from northern Bahar Ghazal state. The traditional chiefs say Mr. Kiir should have consulted with them first before creating additional states. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from WOW.
A total of 15 chiefs representing tribes in Raja County argued that unlike the people of Awil North and Awil West counties who are pastoralists, the people of Raja are farmers. They say it would be very difficult for these people to live together in one state. Abdallah Tamim Fartak, a chief from the Foroget tribe, says they are not against the creation of more estates in South Sudan, but they do oppose the boundaries of the new Lol estate because it lumps them together with people of which they have nothing in common. Speaking in Arabic, Tamim says their norms and culture differ from the others. He says since British colonial rule, they have not been the same. He says they are farmers and the others are pastoralists, and you cannot put the two together or there will be problems. Tamim says the people in Raja want President Kiir to reverse his decision to include their area as part of the state of Lol. Tamim says they are asking the president to avoid chaos and so his people can move freely. He says his people do not have guns, but others do, and sometimes harass his people who only move with spears and machetes in fishing areas. And Chief Mohamed Ahmed Madibo claims that most of the people in the Awil counties are armed and that having to live with them in the same estate would mean never-ending conflict. Speaking in Arabic, Ahmed says the new estates are not acceptable to his people in Raja. He says there are always killings and fighting in other estates, and to avoid this, they just want to be left alone. Ahmed stresses that they will defend their rights through civil means. Maradama James Benjamin, the Raja County Commissioner, says citizens like these chiefs have a right to express their views. He says the county authority will meet with the Western Baal Ghazali State Governor, Rizik Zakaria Hassan, to discuss the matter. Speaking in Arabic, Jamie says they will get a briefing from the governor, but he will tell the governor that the citizens have the right to either accept or reject the new counties. The traditional chiefs say they have finalized a document which they have unanimously agreed to reject the presidential decree, and the copies will be delivered to the state governor and the president. Governor Rizik Zakaria Hassan says the order creating new estates is not a decree, but it will be reviewed by the Minister of Justice before it is debated in the National Assembly. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, reporting in WOW.
Come, you are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a graduate from the Catholic University of East Africa studies South Sudan's problems for a year in the United States. Find out what he learned when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what advice would you give to a new mother?
She has to take care of her child by giving her breast milk regularly, also by looking after her child properly. If she is sick, she must take the child quickly to the hospital.
A new mother, take care of your child, concentrate on their health, and create a bond with them.
The best advice I'll give to a new mother is to try as much as possible to bond with her newborn baby.
A newly mother, I would advise her to really love her family. She has got her firstborn, praying for the family. Yeah.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A graduate from Catholic University of East Africa is back in South Sudan this week after spending 4 months at the United States Institute of Peace here in Washington. Sylvia Williams is the second South Sudanese to take part in USAP's annual program that hosts one South Sudanese citizen a year to study in Washington. Williams chose to study the root causes of ethnic tension in South Sudan, saying he believes the deeper understanding of this issue could speed the healing and reconciliation process in the country. Ayen Bior has the story from Washington.
What leads a person to commit violent acts against another? Where did the issue of ethnic violence originate from? How can South Sudan move toward tribal harmony? These are just some of the questions Sylvia William and a team of researchers are looking into at the United States Institute of Peace. Although the issues are complicated, William says the reason for the prolonged fighting among some South Sudanese ethnic communities can be summarized in one sentence.
They want to show that they also exist and they need to be recognized in the politics of South Sudan.
Emily Fornoff, a program assistant at USIP who worked with William, says his research was beneficial in furthering her understanding of the ethnic violence in South Sudan.
I think one of his most surprising findings was that a lot of it is due to the drawing of the county boundaries. It caused a lot of problems because they kept redrawing them without consulting with the population.
William says long-lasting tensions in his home country stem from a lack of practical dialogue between South Sudan's communities. He says that other factors that lead to violence are cattle raids, lack of services outside the capital, and a lack of transparency and accountability from government officials.
Then also I found that there is issue of politics of identity, where a group of, you know, five try to, you know, form a kind of movement to fight other tribes, thinking that they have been marginalized, for example, and so they have to fight in order to get their rights.
William says President Kiir's recent move to create a total of 28 states did not just create additional states, it separated people based on ethnic identity. Splitting communities, according to William, could make matters worse and prolong the path to reconciliation. William says the government must consider all impacts of creating new states before redrawing the country's map.
It's very important that it has to be really realized by the government of South Sudan to make sure that there is studies, there is, you know, survey before they decide to create county, for example, or a state in this case.
William also suggested an aggressive nationwide economic development plan be implemented. He says economic and structural development will raise the standard of living in South Sudan and convince citizens that they can also prosper in their own country.
The most important is nationalism. We have to create, we have to develop sense of nationalism within South Sudanese. And that is the only way that we can overcome, you know, tribal lines or tribal interests within our community.
For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
Swiss non-governmental organization Veterinary Sans Frontières, with help of Northern Bahr el Ghazal state officials, are vaccinating hundreds of thousands of livestock and domestic animals against diseases. As we hear from Abraham Agoth in Awil, the vaccination campaign got underway this week in Gog Machar in Awil North County.
Molo Luke is the livestock project officer at VSF, which works to improve access to veterinary care and livestock market. At a news conference in Awil yesterday, Luke said the vaccination campaign is aimed at preventing a number of killer diseases.
We also have a vaccination target with the small ruminants. We are vaccinating 160,000 pets of animals in Northern Bahr el Ghazal.
Peter Duke is the livestock director in the Northern Bahr el Ghazal Estates Animal Resources and Fisheries. He says the campaign will prevent livestock against contracting several deadly diseases and will also allow the cattle to produce more milk and higher quality of meat.
Those animals, they are now protected for 6 months. After 6 months, we can vaccinate them again. We are going to deworm them with internal and external diseases, and will support the justice. As you have seen now, this year it is a year of drought. We have started with early warning now in stage one, in Awilna. And tomorrow we are going to launch another county.
Ernest Mungok Mungok, Northern Bahr el Ghazal Animal Resources and Fisheries Minister, says this marks the first time authorities have conducted a mass vaccination of livestock in the area. Mungok is calling on cattle owners across the state to get their animals vaccinated.
I hope to see everybody turning up with their livestock so that they are vaccinated against diseases. We want in the future to have our territory as livestock free, diseases free.
Pastoralist Ding Lual Kual welcomed the government's plan to vaccinate their livestock. He says he has lost hundreds of cattle to diseases, adding that he watched helplessly as some of their cattle fell sick and died. Lual says he has noticed a particularly nasty disease that causes infected cattle bleed through the nose and have swollen lungs.
It kills bulls, oxen, heifer, and an ordinary cow, every type of cow without mercy. This has finished our cows. Even if one tries to migrate to another place where the disease is not reported, you will find the disease is already there. This has been happening for years now, destroying every breed of our cattle. But now, the doctors are saying they will cure these diseases. We have our doubts, but we will see.
More than 60% of South Sudan's populations depend on livestock for livelihoods. For VOA News, I'm Abraham Gov reporting in a wheel.
Thousands of soccer fans were elated to watch South Sudan take on Mauritania in a 2018 World Cup qualifier today in Juba. The match ended in a 1-1 tie. Both goals were actually scored yesterday when the game was halted due to heavy rain. Coaches and players call it a good performance given it is South Sudan's first showing in a World Cup qualifier. Philip Tonaleo was in the stands today and has this report for VOA from Juba.
The feeling was electric inside Juba Stadium. The spectators cheered loudly each time a Bright Stars player took control of the ball and tried to score. Some fans arrived at the stadium 3 hours before kick-off, waiting in the hot sun for the excitement to begin. Forward Dominic Abui equalized for South Sudan after Mauritania's forward Babalak Sahala scored in the past 5 minutes yesterday. Abui says he had hope for a South Sudan win.
I hope it will be better next time, God's willing. We'd laid the ball for several minutes, but this is how we can learn how to play together. I am hoping for the best in the future.
He, like his teammates, are either in South Sudanese or Sudanese local football clubs. But Abui alone will go down in history as the first South Sudanese footballer to score a goal in a World Cup qualifier for his 4-year-old country. Lee Song-Jech, the Bright Stars head coach, says the more time they spend practicing and playing together, the better they are going to perform.
I'm expecting more future than now. So the second match is more important, and then also we're expecting CECAFA, the next, 2017 for African Nation coached by Ovid Benin also. So this is, I know, because our player, they are not just preferring before, but they just come from Sudan and South Sudan, that's all. Also, we showed our people, South Sudan people, to be happiness. This is one of our purpose.
And that happiness was in abundance among fans like this at Juba Stadium.
My name is Didier Drogba, but the real name is Hassan Benjamin. But the result good is good. It's good, but we play draw, we lose our 3 points. Maybe next time we can go and try it.
Well, even I'm so happy today. Yeah, but next time I need to South Sudan to beat these people.
The excitement in the crowd could not be contained until the final whistle was blown. Pan Chan, songs by local musicians, and proudly waved South Sudanese flags throughout the stadium. It was not a win, but it was enough to keep alive. And it was a day in which all South Sudanese were united in their support of the national team. When the national anthem ended, a thunderous applause erupted from the stadium. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleo in Juba.
Here in Washington, the leader of the SPLM in opposition, Riek Machar, is also celebrating the performance of the South Sudan's national soccer team. Machar says the Bright Stars need a lot of support from the government and the South Sudanese business community. Machar, who is a strong supporter of the British Premier League Arsenal team, is hopeful that the Bright Stars will perform better in the future.
With peace prevailing in South Sudan, we shall be on top. Our national team is under-resourced. They're not properly trained. They're not being catered for You know, in South Sudan, there are no private clubs. What we inherited from Khartoum, Malek, Hilal, Malakia, but nobody is supporting. Even people who have money, the business people, have not yet gone to support such clubs. Even high-ranking officials have not yet taken up to the idea of building football clubs, basketball clubs, sports and athletics arenas which our people can then now enhance their energies and then compete in the world. We're just at the beginning. We can draw with Mauritania. That has been a state for long. Bravo.
That's Riek Machar, leader of the SPLM in opposition. He was speaking to me this past hour in Washington. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Opposition leader Riek Machar held meetings with top U.S. officials to talk about the future of South Sudan after the signing of the peace deal in August. Yesterday, Machar met in Washington with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. Machar tells South Sudan in Focus that he was satisfied with the outcome of the meeting with Kerry, but would not provide details of that conversation. He did say he was mystified as to the reason for canceling an earlier meeting with U.S. National Security Advisor Susan Rice, South Sudanese Vice President James Wani Igga, and former political detainee Pagana Moom. More than a dozen traditional chiefs from Raja County of Western Bahar al-Ghazal State say they don't accept President Kiir's decision to annex their county into a newly created state called Lol. It also includes Awil North and Awil West counties from northern Bahar al-Ghazal State. The traditional chiefs say Mr. Kiir should have consulted with them first before creating additional states. 15 chiefs representing tribes in Raja County argue that unlike the people of Awil North and Awil West, who are pastoralists, the people of Raja are farmers. They say it would be very difficult for their people to live together peacefully in one county. And finally, a Swiss group called Veterinarians Without Borders, along with the help of northern Bahar al-Ghazal state officials, are vaccinating thousands of livestock and domestic animals against diseases. The vaccination campaign began yesterday in Gok Machar in Awil North County. Molo Luke, the livestock project officer, which works to improve access to veterinary care and livestock markets, says the vaccination program is aimed at preventing a number of killer diseases in cows, horses, sheep, and goats. Peter Joke, the livestock director in the Western Bahar al-Ghazal State's Animal Resources and Fisheries Ministry, says the vaccination campaign will cover the entire state. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, Carol. That's our show for this Thursday. And we now leave you with the song Yala Kitautu by Victoria Ole.
Yalla kitautu, yalla kitautu, yalla yalla, ni najere, yalla ni najere, yalla ni najere,
we have been listening to Victoria Ole with the song Yala Kitautu. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.